Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahavriyankaravavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastamavidvishavahai Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
You're saying today's eclipse. So, is there any... Does it have the effect of the observances? Okay, so then one doesn't worry about those things. Okay. Verses 9 to 13, Yoga Mr. Bhakti. Verses 5 to 8 emphasize the importance of remembering Krishna. In verse 9, the Lord explains how he should be remembered. One should meditate on Krishna as the one who knows everything. The oldest, the controller, the smallest, the smaller than the smallest, the maintainer of everything beyond all material conceptions. Inconceivable, luminous like the sun, transcendental, beyond the material nature, and who is always the Supreme Person. The most important message of verse 9 is that Krishna is not impersonal or void. Right? At the end of chapter 7, the Lord introduced the Yoga Mistra devotee, the one who desires liberation from old age and death and takes refuge in Krishna in devotional service. Verses 10 to 13 are a continuation of the same topic. They outline the process of Yoga Mistra Bhakti, Sat Chakra Yoga. In verse 10 is stated that the yogi who, by the strength of yoga, with an undeviating mind, fixes his life air between his eyebrows at the time of death and engages himself in remembering the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, in full devotion, certainly attains to the Lord. Those who learn it in the Vedas, who utter Om, and who are great sages in the renounced order, enter into Brahman. Desiring such perfection, one practices celibacy, detachment from all sensual engagement, closing all the doors of the senses and fixing the mind on the heart and the life air at the top of the head, establishing oneself in transcendence and vibrating the sacred syllable Om. If one thinks of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and quits his body, he will certainly reach the spiritual planets. It is important to note that the essential message of this section is to remember Krishna. One can approach the Lord according to one's own taste, using some of the recognized processes, but the ultimate result of these practices should be devotional service in the form of constant remembrance of the Lord. This is the actual goal of yoga. Therefore, techniques like fixing the life air between the eyebrows or practice of celibacy are useful only to assist a yogi in remembering Krishna. Yeah, so, in these things is that, as Prabhupada was saying, is that devotional service is the topic. But at the same time, to understand it very nicely in our conditioned state, you know, or at least for application in our conditioned state, then the processes, the different aspects or different processes of yoga are to be studied. Right? The different individuals. So the karma yoga, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, all these must be studied. Then one can see technically what's going on. So the point here is that the senses are removed from the sense objects and one is engaged in remembering the Lord. All right? So that's the same point. It's just being brought from another aspect. Right? The karma yogi is pulling back the senses. How is he pulling them back? Because the results are not for him. Right? Because you make an endeavor, but it's not until the result. You can only enjoy the result. Does that make sense? So, therefore, the result's for Krishna. And that means the activity is to gain that result for Krishna, so the activity becomes for Krishna. Right? So then all that is connected. So the senses are pulled back. And because one's doing that for Krishna, one's meditating on Krishna. Right? So it's not, because you're doing an activity, then the focus will be on that activity to see it goes right. But it's still, overall, is for Krishna. Right? So you see the meditation part is there, but it won't be as prominent as the Astanga Yogi because he doesn't do anything else except meditate. Right? But to do that means he has to actually stop the life air, stop the senses, stop everything. No, then it works. But as Arjuna pointed out, not so practical. Right? So, but the point of always remembering Krishna, that's very practical. But we see then it's done through engaging the senses, you know, in works that are done for Krishna. Right? That knowledge is there, so the intelligence is engaged, then for Krishna. Right? So we see it in connection to Krishna. So in all these things, then the same point is one removes oneself from material engagement and one focuses on Krishna. Right? So that means the activity will be for Krishna, the knowledge will be for Krishna, the thought will be about Krishna. Understand? So it's the same thing, it's just how it will be done. Right? So, in yoga and in jnana, then there has to be celibacy. In karma, there doesn't have to be. But in the other two, then it's required. Otherwise, it doesn't function so good. It's too much distraction. Because you're distracted by activities. But the activities that are connected to Krishna, so that it all works very nicely. Does that make sense? So, this is the essential elements of yoga. So here we see is that this is being brought out. The main point of the yoga is this element of its being absorbed in Krishna. Right? So we're just bringing out the aspect of how it is mixed. Right? So here the mixing we're not saying is a problem. Right? The difficulty is that if the emphasis is on Krishna, emphasis is on that, then the mix is not a problem. Right? But if it's not, then it's a... Okay, Haribo. So, okay. Having explained the practices of Yoga Misra Bhakti, or how one attached to yoga and liberation can remember him, Krishna next describes pure devotional service. Yes?
I have a question about the purport for verse 8. 11. In there, Prabhupada says that in the Vedic system of knowledge, students from the very beginning are taught to vibrate om and learn of the ultimate impersonal Brahman by living with the spiritual master and complete celibacy. In this way, they realize two of Brahman's features. What are those features?
We'll have to see if it mentions somewhere.
8:11, second paragraph.
Oh, you said 11.
Yeah.
I'm not sure unless it's been something before. Do you know what it's referring to? Two features? No? Okay. I mean, unless it's... Oh, let me see. I would think it's something to do with perfection, but... I mean, the two that we deal with is the ultimate cause and the formal cause. Because you're dealing because the Brahman is still personal. It's part of Brahman. But the point is it's non-interactive. You're seeing. So in other words, you're existing in the state of appreciating Krishna's existing in everything. Right? But within that, then there's going to be the dynamic of him being the quality that is being obtained by the formal cause. You know what I'm saying? So, in other words, there's a quality, because that's what makes the Brahman. The Brahman is actually the effulgence of Krishna's qualities. Right? So being non-dual, that means then everything is imbued with quality. If it's Brahman, it's imbued with quality. And it's the quality that we're attracted to. Right? Because attraction means then something can be gained. Right? So that means there must be a quality that can deliver what it is. Or the quality is what you want, so there must be a method, a field through which you can gain it. Right? So I would think these two would come to my mind as the two aspects of Brahman. It's the masculine and feminine principle. You know? Because otherwise, because he's celibate, therefore he can appreciate it. You know what I'm saying? Like that, like Prabhupada, you can see, he can talk so easily about family life, you know, down to all variety of details. And it's exact, because it's just, you're looking at it what it is, like he says. Sex life is just squeezing. You know, others won't think, oh, it says this and that, and so many things that are a man, so many emotions, it's just squeezing. You understand? So, then it means this, because being celibate, you look at it in a different light. You look at it just the mechanics of it. It's just, that's all it is. You know, like cooking means you are exposing something edible to fire, to heat, you know, in some form, in some way. That's the cooking process. You can say, oh, there's so many ways. No, but they're all the same. Whether you're steaming something, boiling it, deep frying it, baking it, you're exposing something edible to heat. And you apply it long enough till it becomes, you know, soft. Or, you know, or whatever stage you would call edible. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So that's all it is. Then there's so many techniques of that. Does that make sense? So probably just look at it very clearly like this. Because that's the mechanics of it. What is it you're trying to obtain and all that? That's what is the Brahman. You know, why is that? That's a technique. But what is it trying to obtain? That's the quality of, see, that's your ultimate cause. That's why you're involved in something, is because of the ultimate cause. It's called Krishna's quality. Right? So that quality in the Brahman that you're looking at, you know what I'm saying? You're looking at, let's say, beauty. But then what is, so that's the original cause. What's the formal cause? You know, what forms are taken to obtain that beauty? What activities does one have to do to obtain beauty? You know what I'm saying? So these are all coming from it. So these two things, then Brahman one appreciates. Right? Because then it just brings everything back to the Lord, and there's non-interactiveness. So, but that's, you know, how you say, one has to be detached from the material engagement for that to be appreciated. Does that make sense? I mean, that's what would come to my mind. But there may be something else somewhere else, but, you know, that's referred to, I'm not sure.
So what I was singing, but I couldn't find the reference in the purport to where he would connect it with that.
Yeah, I don't know. We'd have to see from earlier or later or like that. Yes?
In the paragraph before, also mentions how Brahman has many features.
Yeah, various manifestations and features. So maybe that's the two, manifestations and features.
He then says Omkar and the ultimate person of Brahman, and then these two features.
Yeah. Omkar and
the ultimate person of Brahman.
Omkar and?
Impersonal Brahman.
Okay. Yeah, that could also, here. Yeah, that could also do. I would say is that would be one, but also you have the thing is manifestations and features. Because the feature would be what is the quality you're looking for, and the manifestation would be what would obtain it. At the same time as then for those who, that would be para-Brahman, but those who only understand Brahman, then the Omkara and the you know, the impersonal or the salvation, their liberated state of existence. Right? So then, so I think it would work on both. But that's a good observation. Does that make sense? Because Prabhupada's only going to mention something that he has a reference for, unless he's giving some other thing, you know, then generally, then it's something that is considered general knowledge in the Vedic standards, so he may not explain it. But something like this would always be a reference. Is that okay? Okay. Verses 14 to 16. Pure devotional service. So 14. For one who always remembers me without deviation, I am easy to obtain, O son of Prita, because of his constant engagement in devotional service. After obtaining me, the great souls, who are yogis in devotion, never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries because they have attained the highest perfection. From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery, when repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. The Lord has already described bhakti mixed with karma, arto jigyasu artarti, 7:16. Bhakti mixed with desire for liberation, jara marana mokshaya, and bhakti mixed with yoga, 8:9-13. Now the Lord speaks of kevala bhakti, the highest bhakti which is devoid of any material tinge, in the notes. Besides arto jigyasu and artarti, Bhagavad Gita 7:16 mentions the jnani, who does not have desire for material results or for liberation. Therefore, he is not classified among the devotees who want something in exchange for their devotional service. Still, according to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the jnani retains some elements of jnana while practicing bhakti and is thus distinguished from the kevala bhakti who practices bhakti alone. Because the jnani then also can be established as a neophyte devotee. But his sincerity that he wants to know Krishna, wants to please Krishna, is there. But there'll be the element of jnana, wanting to know so he can properly worship, properly deal with Krishna. He's not that distinguished from the jigyasu who just wants to have knowledge. And once he's gained that, then he may lose interest and go somewhere else, you know. You know, that means, what do you call it? Because there are so many vast topics like that. Okay, so the kevala bhakta means that he's beyond this. These aren't his focus at all, right? So then we'll see here is that being fixed in there, practicing in this way, he'll come to that platform. So this pure devotion means the intent is there. One may not be completely pure. This is the important element to note is that just as the moon is appreciated for its, you know, beauty and its coolingness, but it still has spots, right? Is that the devotee being focused on Krishna, not wanting anything there, but from the past activities, there is still something remaining. So those things, by performing the devotional service, those will go away. So that's why Krishna is saying he will obtain, right? Because otherwise, where someone has come to that platform, he says he has attained, right? Krishna makes that point. So he will attain. So, and he's very dear because he's only focused on Krishna. These are just habits from the past, so that these things just slowly, slowly go away by the process. But they're not his focus. So they may be engaged, they may be different things, he may analyze them according to his knowledge. But he's not interested in getting a result. So he's performing activities, naishkarmya. And he is not wanting liberation. Right? So therefore, then this comes to the point of the kevala bhakti. So it's a matter of where the focus is. Because the whole thing is consciousness. The focus is right. It works. Right? This is very important. Because otherwise you may say, oh, but he has faults. I saw, you know, he's attached to this or that. But in his mind, that's not his focus. Right? Just like Narad Muni, when he's discussing with Vyasadeva about when he was the son of the maidservant. And then he says, you know, I was not interested in playing. I was not, you know, I was just focused on, you know, the spiritual life. But in the purport, Prabhupada said, he's a kid. Of course he's playing and doing all these things. You know, what kid is not? But in his mind, he wasn't thinking, yeah, now I want to go play. No, he's thinking of Krishna. And just because he's a kid, they play, they do different things. You understand? So it's what's the intent? Just like, let's say, someone who's just new in Krishna consciousness, new and fresh to them and that. All they think about is the Krishna consciousness and doing things connected to that. But if you look at it, they probably have much more anartas and activities that are not so useful than someone who's more mature in devotional service. Right? But you don't notice that. You just see that enthusiasm, that freshness, that interest, that drive. You understand? Because that's what's important, because that's what's in the relationship. Right? You have a good friend, what's important? You know, that aspect of interaction, or, you know, what he does in his spare time. You understand? So the point is, Krishna's a person, so this is what's important. You know, is he important? Is that what you're trying to obtain? Is that what that's what's important. And other things, then that's another aspect. Does that make sense? You know, so with time, everything will match. So in the beginning, it may not match. But if one continues, it'll all match. Does that make sense? Because of constant engagement in devotional service, Krishna is easily obtained by a devotee who always remembers him without deviation. The pure devotee means, as before we said, if you're always remembering Krishna at the time of death, you will remember. So if he's always remembering now, that will happen then. So it's anyway. And Krishna's there, he will help, as we'll see when we get to the 10th chapter. Right? Then Krishna makes it very clear, his position. The pure devotee's only desire is to please Krishna. Therefore, his mind is exclusively fixed on Krishna, and he wards off all desires and thoughts not related to unflinching devotional service. So he wards off all desires. That doesn't mean they won't come. Right? As we mentioned yesterday, devotees would harass another devotee because he would think of different things. And he would, you know, being, how you say, simple or being open, you know, trying to be, you know, not from the material honest, but just trying to association, guhya makati brichati, then he would discuss with others, and then they would take that and use that against him in a political way, you know, find fault. So, one that's, you know, so this is wrong. Krishna is not agreeing with that because it's not desires come up because otherwise it was there. How is it in Yamunacharya? He's an Alwar. He's one of the 12 previous Acharyas. We accept and the Ramanujas accept. Right? Kulashekar. We know we always talk about Kula. He's one of the 12 Alwars. Like that. So we don't have it. Yamunacharya, he's one of the Alwars. Right? So like this, Yamunacharya, you know, he was a king. Actually, it's Yamunacharya he was the king. So therefore, he was a brahmacharya, then he went and defeated the pandit, and then he was given half the kingdom, so he became a king. And then later on, one of his godbrothers had to come and, by a trick, get him back out, you know, because he had this favorite spinach, so he would bring it every day. So he was eating it very much like, and then one day he didn't bring it. So then they wanted to know, where is this guy? So then, when he did come back, then the king saw him, and then he reminded him of his previous devotional service. So one can say, well, how is this an Alwar? Right? But this is not how it works. The point is its connection to Krishna. Like that. Just another thing also to note is we use the term here, pure devotional service, pure devotee. Pure devotee starts from a Madhyama. Madhyama is a pure devotee. Right? Neophyte may be, may not be. But Madhyama is. So that's where it starts, because we'll say pure devotee and then we'll put it way off in the distance. No, pure devotional service can be performed from nishta. Right? Because that's it. You're fixed. That's the point. Constant engagement. So one's fixed. Like that. Does that make sense? So, therefore, his mind is exclusively fixed on Krishna. He wards off all desires and thoughts not related to unflinching devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Smartavyas satatam Vishnur, Vishmartavyo na jatu chit. He does not have any selfish desires, and as a result, he enjoys perfect peace. Right? So, one has to be liberal in that way. Liberal meaning one has to not that should not bother you about others if they're fixed in their devotion and they're moving forward. At the same time, one also has to have this attitude towards oneself. It's not a liberality, it's all right to that, you know, one thinks this or no. It's a matter of even that thinks it still you go on. Right? Manu makes this point is a Brahmin does not berate himself for something that's gone wrong. He takes it, okay, now what to do and move forward. Because berating yourself constantly, that's the mode of ignorance. Right? As we see, you see there's a difference between the modern concept of having, you know, finding fault in oneself and what we see the acharyas. You read the songs, they'll say, yes, I'm very fallen, I'm absorbed in all these things, but I just want to remember you and that. It's a moment. They go, this is my position, but I'm trying to be absorbed in you. But the modern is, this is my position, I'm so disgusting, I'm so useless, and I can't do anything, and this and that. And then that's your, then what are you supposed to do? You know, so perfection is, if you can say, oh, I'm so disgusting, then everyone will go, oh, now that's honest. Now he's a nice guy. No, he's in the mode of ignorance. Right? It's nothing to do with a nice guy. You know? Oh, this is so truthful. That's not truth. Truth is Krishna. So the point is saying, I'm fallen. How do you define fallen? It's not connected to Krishna. So you're saying, I'm fallen. That's the position. And I'm, you know, want to remember you. I want to be absorbed in your service. So that's where you are, what you want to get. So please engage me in your service. That's your Abhideya. So your Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana is complete. So it's progressive. So it's not that you can't see what the fault is, but it's one's not absorbed in it. Otherwise, what's one's meditation? Yeah, on the fault, not on Krishna. So therefore, Krishna doesn't want it either, right? The modern think is, yes, that's good. But the modern think is stemming from ignorance. It's just pure ignorance. I don't care who's talking it. It's pure ignorance. Maybe politically correct, but that's the point. It's correct on the political field. And what political field? Manu? Chanakya? No, somebody made it up. So what's the use? Just Maya. Right? So that means is one has to be able to forgive oneself. That doesn't mean that you say, oh, now it's all right, it doesn't matter that this is done. No, it's a matter of it's done wrong, now try again. Right? Why is it that a little kid, let's say parents and their small kid move to a new country, right? New language. They don't speak the language. Okay, now they've been there for 3 months. After 3 months, who talks the language? The kid. And after how many years the parents are still just, they can get to the market? Yeah. Why? Because the kid will make a mistake. Doesn't matter. He'll try again and again. But the adult will make a mistake. That's it. I'm not doing that again. So it's the same in devotional service. You make the mistake. Okay, that's wrong. Now, what should I do? Now do that. That didn't work. Okay, let's try. Was it just a matter of it was the right activity, but you know I didn't have determination, or there was something wrong. Whatever it is, analyze it. That's why the knowledge is there. That's what the jnana's for. Right? Then one performs the activity again and again and again. That's practice. Because if you're perfect, why would it be called sadhana bhakti? Right? Sadhana bhakti means it's not perfect. Right? The gopis, Krishna played the flute. They didn't go. So that's not perfect. So what do? They try to correct that. Next time when the Krishna plays flute, then they go. Otherwise, hey, he didn't go. That's it. Finished. You know, eternally damned. You know? Sorry. Like that. Oh, they're the gopis that didn't go. You know? Yeah.
much, because you used a scientific example that the light, some people call it a wave, some people call it a particle. We want to try and get at one thing or the other, but actually it's both.
Yeah.
It's a continuum. We're not here, we're not there. There's fluctuation backwards and forwards.
Yeah. I would say, put more detail, you have to ask our man, but he's not here now. But our wave particle man, then he sits on that pillar over there, but he's not here today. Yeah, point is that Sankarshan means you understand the field. So you can see what's right, what's wrong, what's to do, what's not to do. But unless there's enthusiasm to work with that field, Prajumna, to get a result, Aniruddha, there's not going to be any activity or Vasudeva. So the modern idea is if I look at Sankarshan and then I identify all the problems and I just absorb myself in that, and that self-absorption somehow or another is progressive. But it's not doing anything. Though it seems, oh, he's so emotional and he's so absorbed. But what is the emotion? The emotion is about himself. It's nothing to do with anybody else. Because until it comes to Prajumna, where there's some interest and inclination of working with the field, only then you can include others. So all it is just, it's all about you. It's just a tricky way to make it all about you. Because the people who are politically correct, it's all about themselves, nobody else. And so if you're like that, then they're comfortable with you. But if you think of other things and there's other considerations of other people, they don't like that. Because it's direct. We make it indirect, like this and that. It looks like it's about others, but it's not. You see what I'm saying? This is what Krishna talks about. In irreligion means you take what's religion and say it's irreligious. And what's irreligious, you say it's religion. That's all. It's that obvious, that blunt. Of course, it's not politically correct to say that, but hey, who cares? You know, Krishna's talking here, you want to please him, go back to Godhead, or do you want to stay here and be the politically correct man? Like that. Or let's say, politically correct person. Yes.
In this topic, you're exposing about oneself, chastising yourself when you make a mistake. I find in my personal experience that when I did that, my self-image as someone who could actively do something got a lot weakened.
Yes.
You know, when I just tried to forgive myself, as you mentioned, and then move forward to let's do it better. But I found a lot of resistance in putting that.
Because what is their background? Is it the mode of goodness means present? What's going? What's right now? What to do with it? Because they want to absorb themselves in the past. That's ignorance. So what's the Western culture? Passion and ignorance. So it has to be future or past. Present just doesn't fly. You know what I'm saying? If you can somehow describe present, then you can write a book, you know. Be here now, or something, you know, like this, you know, all these kind of things. But it's, they can't understand, because you look at it, it's just like this. You go back in time, you know, a good Christian, you know, he could take a, you know, cat of nine and flog himself and walk through the streets, oh, I'm so sinful, I'm so this, and that would go, wow, this guy's a saint. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's nice that he's understood his position, but the point is to be absorbed in that and not do something about it. That's the mode of ignorance. Okay, you're fallen. Now what are you going to do about it? You know, it's like the guys fell over in the mud puddle, right? And then he sits there. Oh, I'm so dirty. I'm so filthy. You know, nobody should touch me. I'm just laying. Oh, what should I do? I should just roll around. You know, it's like this. You know, it's like, no, you get up and go take a bath. You know, it's like, you know, there's just this whole thing you got to go on. Because where is it? Because that's where the taste is. It's the mode of ignorance. So you sit around in a circle and you get yourself really absorbed in the mode of ignorance. And then they think, wow, that was a great session. But it had nothing to do with working with others. It was just that I want to be the center and all these other people are allowing me to be the center as long as I present it so that they can, you know, their voyeuristic element can gain some emotion from it for themselves. But there's no actual interaction between the members of that assembly. But without analyzing, you can't see it. Because they'll say, no, that's not true, the motion. But the point is the mind isn't what analyzes, it's the intelligence. So unless there's a combination of the two, there's no relationship. Because activity has to be performed with intelligence. So if there's only pure emotion, that means there is no intelligence, there is no framework. So how do you define it as a relationship? Because relationship, you're taking the masculine principle of intelligence and the feminine principle of the mind and combining those on a common field. So if that's not happening, it's not a relationship. You know what I'm saying? But because people emotionally are so dead, anything that will spark emotion, they'll consider, oh, this must be because emotion comes from interaction. But they don't know that they've created this impersonal, non-interactive, static, emotional environment. And they somehow or another, it's great compared to nothing. So you can appreciate they have to have something. But if they're going to say that this is real, and when you present the real thing, and they'll say this is not real, says that's demoniac. That's less intelligence. That's muda. That's maya pratigyana. Because it says right here what you should do. Yes?
Is there a space for a joke?
You can try.
There's a Jewish lady going, oh, I'm so thirsty. Oh, I'm so thirsty. Oh, I am so...
So this one guy comes, the priest takes some water, and she takes the water, and when she finishes, she goes,
oh, I was so thirsty.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Like that, yeah. It is a strong element in that culture, right? The element of remember, right? Remember what they did to you. Yeah, so good. Yes, good. Okay, does that make sense? In other words, it's not that it's not understood or taken seriously, because the thing is, unless you lament, you're not taking it seriously. But the point is, the intelligent man can see something as it is and do something with it. Who laments? Yeah, Shudras. Right? So now it's a modern culture. Is that you have to emotionally be like a Shudra. Right? But in your action in that, you should be bourgeois. It should be, you know, business. It's economics. So all the economics, all the justice, all the morality, it's all about combining these two. Emotions in the mode of ignorance and make a profit. You know, so it's that's why the Gita analyzes these things so that one can make this distinction. Otherwise, if one can't make the distinction, one will be distracted. Right? And one doesn't have to go far to find these distractions. Before, you had to walk out of the temple door out onto the street to see the distractions. Now, you know, by the contemporary modern facilities, one does not have to go that far. Right? You know, I'm not talking about internet here. I'm talking about, you know, interacting with people. Yes, sir. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because, in other words, it's not that it means you forgive yourself for making the mistake. It doesn't mean the mistake hasn't been made. It's not that you don't rectify. You say, oh, but if you forgive it, what about the mistake? So, but the point is the point to rectify the mistake? Or like, you know, in his joke there, is it to talk about how I made the mistake? Yes.
I think the problem comes up is that for some people, they continually make the same mistake. And so the guilt gets very strong, and then they feel even more guilty to go forward in bhakti because they feel, well, this is pretentious.
But no, but the point is, let us say, but if it's pretentious, what's real and what's not real? What is substance and what is illusion? So the mistake's an illusion because you're not seeing Krishna. And the devotional service, that's substance, that's seeing Krishna, that's reality. So in other words, this position means we're actually giving credence to the material world as substance. That's the problem. People think morality has value outside of Krishna. So one keeps making the mistake, that just means it's a longer term habit. It's something, you're making mistakes, someone says, hey, you do like this, and then immediately it changes, it means it's not very deep. And if it's been going on for a longer time, that means it's quite deep. One's been doing this for lifetimes. Right? So in other words, it's like Prabhupada gives an example. I think it was about Ravi Shankar. He was playing sitar for 1,000 lifetimes. So that's why he's good. You know? So that means if we're actually good at some nonsense, you know, that means we've been doing it for a long time. So therefore we're trying to get rid of thousands of lifetimes, you know, of habit in one lifetime. But the focus, this is what Krishna's pointing out, the focus is on the devotional aspect, and then you use technique. For those whose focus is on the technique, that's all right as long as it's in line here, but it's less than when the focus is on Krishna and then using technique. But here it's not even technique, because thinking I can't do something, then that automatically, that's the identity. I can't do. But the point is I'm servant of Krishna. Is the soul eternally servant of Krishna? Is it Brahman? If it is, it's not actually identified with this, though we identify. So by my mistake, I keep identifying. So it's just a matter of, okay, then I have to do it again. So if it didn't work that way, maybe there's some other way. There's something I'm not seeing. Why am I doing this? Right? Why do I keep making this? What is the attractive element about this that keeps distracting me? Because that's Krishna. But we're thinking it's the thing. You know, we think the thing is, but it's not. It's Krishna. But the illusion is that we think it's not. So to say, oh, I can't do devotional service because it's pretentious. But what's pretentious? Pretentious is that the living entity thinks he's God and is separate from Krishna. Because if we don't do devotional service, what's left for us? Illusion, staying in the material world, being God. That's more pretentious, right? As Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's point. There's nothing more pretentious than the small thinking he's great. You know? But that's what it means. So all this so-called truth, it's actually, we can see, it's not real. It's actually demoniac. This modern concept of truth is actually demoniac. Because it's not true. Because truth means it's Krishna. It's a fact, okay. But, you know, you say, this is a book. That's a fact. But the point is, this book is about Krishna. I have another book. You know, you have Shakespeare or something. It's not about Krishna. Right? Someone who's intelligent can find Krishna, but it's not directly Krishna. So unless you see that, it's illusion. It's not actually a book. Because a book's about Krishna. Right? A relationship is about Krishna. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point. Otherwise, it's not real. So it's not truth. You can say, oh, but it's fact. No, but it's not real fact. You're only seeing the external, the operative cause and the material cause. But if you can't see the original cause and the formal cause, which they're reflecting, you're not seeing. You're blind. Right? That's what, you know, Dhruva Maharaj is saying. He says, I was blind. I was thinking, you know, being, you know, Lord of the Universe, all this. And he's not talking small-time stuff. He's talking big times. He's talking about a sovereignty greater than Brahma's. He didn't just say his father, you know, his grandfather, which is Manu, and his great-grandfather, which is Brahma. He wanted bigger than that. But, you know, he's five, so hey, okay. So, you know, but he got it. But he says, I was blind. You know, so this is the thing is that our philosophy cuts through all this and makes it very, very directly applicable to anyone in any situation. that they can take up Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, then, you know, if you've done anything wrong, you can't do devotional service. So who hasn't done something wrong? And this nonsense of, oh, that was before you joined. What does that mean, joined? Since when is the soul not servant of Krishna? You know, so that for me is karma. I've done something. I joined, therefore it's something. And then, you know, but, and then the problem is this, if someone's in, it's, you know, it's like he's doing his service and he's having problems, but he sticks around and tries to stay in the association of devotees. Oh, he's condemned. But if he has a little problem and so he just leaves and goes out into Maya, oh, he's honest. This is all just demoniac nonsense. You know what I'm saying? Oh, because, oh, exactly. So, you know, someone's out for, you know, running a brothel for 10 years. They come back, you know, no problem. But someone else does something within the movement. Oh, they're eternally damned. It's just like, what has this got to do with the soul? What has this got to do with our philosophy? This is not Vedanta. You know, Christianity, maybe. But Vedanta, nowhere close. Has nothing to do with what Gita is saying, what Prabhupada is saying, what the Acharyas are saying. Like that.
Would I be correct to say or to think that before, when I think that if I do something, I should be excluded? It's connected to the dualities. Either I'm pure or I'm nothing.
Yes.
And the Vedanta is the graduation.
Yes. The point is you gradually get. Otherwise, see, this is the strength and the weakness of, you know, the. You know, the front lines, or you could say the first world culture, is because whatever they do, everybody should do. So as long as that's connected to Krishna, then they make the whole world Krishna conscious. But if that's not their goal, then they're just going to try to make everybody not Krishna conscious, because they can't, it's not intelligent. Right? It's not intelligent because they can't distinguish. You have to be able to distinguish what percentage, you know. You know, the water's either boiling or it's not. Okay, great. But the point is I have water just out of the tap. Can you stick your finger in it? Yeah. Now, what if it's been on the fire for 5 minutes? It's not boiling. You know what I'm saying? So if you can't distinguish, you will get burnt. And they are getting burnt. You know, anybody who can't make this distinguish is getting burnt. You have to be able to see at what level it is. That's mature. That's intelligent. Right? Then it works. You know? So the drive that it should be good and do everything right, that's fine. There's no fault in that. But you have to know what actual is real good and real truth. But that one's looking for that. That's good. That's better than someone who's not. It's better than the mudha. He doesn't care. But the point is if it's not connected to Krishna, then it still has no value. Indra is a pious guy. But still the position's useless. Like 100 Ashwamedha yagyas. You know how many Brahmins he fed? How much he gave in charity? I mean, he's done a lot. But still, useless. That's the difficulty. So the point is that the mode of goodness means what's happening right now. Okay, you use your intelligence. Okay, I've done this wrong. And I keep doing this wrong. And I'm in this situation. So is there a connection between, because a situation gives rise to activities and results. So do I need to adjust the situation? Do I need to, you know, adjust who I am in this situation, like, what is it that's going wrong here? Analyze it, and then you figure this out. Does that make sense? You had something? No, you had, okay.
I have a friend, both friends, very sincere and nice devotee, but he got caught up in this thoughts that I'm too fallen and I'm too bad and so on. And practically, he is now at the point of medical healing because he cannot get out from this. And intellectual help to him to help him to understand that you should think about Krishna, not about your fallen condition, doesn't help. You probably might be too strong. So what's better to do in this situation?
I mean, you try to give association, but the point is everything's based on desire. So what Krishna's trying to point out is, you desire this, you can get it. You don't desire it, you'll never get it. Right? So living entity is interested, like we were seeing before in the last chapter, is that by being pious, the advantage of being pious is that it's purifying. And in that purified state, there's a little bit more knowledge and a little bit more detachment. So one may be open to devotional service. You know, so one gets that association, one takes it, then that's the advantage. If one gets the association and rejects it, that's most unfortunate. So the point is it's still the individual has to desire. It has to come from there. You know what I'm saying? So he has to want to move forward. Because there's a taste and feeling, I'm so, it gives a very strong identity. I'm fallen, I'm useless, I'm disgusting. It's a very clear identity. I can do nothing. I'm unsuccessful. And they feel secure. Because to start out on something where I haven't been successful in the past, that's the unknown. So, in other words, you want to get something, you have to take a risk. Right? Point is, so let's say a businessman. What makes a difference between a businessman and a guy who has a job? What's the main difference? They both have money. The risk. The man who has a job is unwilling to take a risk in money. He wants to work every day and for that work get paid this much. But as a businessman, he could work that much, get 10 times what the other guy gets, or he could lose 10 times. He's willing to take the risk. That's why he gets 10 times. Right? In the political field, you know, that's their risk. They could have a position or lose it. Right? Does that make sense? You know, in teaching, someone will listen, maybe they won't. You know what I'm saying? Like that. You know, Dronacharya, he's giving the knowledge. You know, he gets killed by that knowledge. That's the risk. Does that make sense? So the point is he's not willing to take a risk. It's very comfortable. He's in the hospital. He's the center of attention. You know, he has a very clear identity and clear activities. But devotional service is something else. You know what I'm saying? Because otherwise, let's say, you know, he couldn't ride a bicycle. Would he end up in the hospital because he failed? He kept falling off, you know, gets caught in the gutter, bumped into the car, you know. You know what I'm saying? So this is the thing, is that one has to know that it's the nature of the soul. If you think, it means if you understand the soul is the eternal servant of Krishna, he's Brahman, he has nothing to do with this world. Then you can understand that the actual adhyatma need is devotional service. Otherwise he's identifying that I'm not Brahman, I'm the adibhuta. So the adhyatma is my need to interact with the adibhuta. And so they've missed the point. But the adhyatma is based on his Brahman. So therefore, Brahman is the eternal servant of Krishna. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of understanding, you know, the analyzing the position. Because that's why sambandha abhideya and prayojana, you're talking relationship. You know, just, oh, you know, don't be attached, this, that. But why not be attached? The soul is attached. The problem is, why be attached? So all that endeavor of attachment, whether attachment is to Krishna or to Maya, it's the same endeavor. No? You know, it's just like an example would be,
cooking potato.
Very good, very good. Yeah, it's going to be the same. You cook for Krishna or not, it's the same. I was thinking of, his guru was Chintamani. Bilva Mangal. So now, the trouble he went through to meet the prostitute, she was just watching this and going, wow, if he applied that to God, you know, if he'd be back to God, he'd be a saint, you know. And so she's just thinking, that's a waste, you know, on me, because, you know, you give money, I reciprocate. You give no money, I don't reciprocate. So I'm not worth that much endeavor. You know what I'm saying? You know, money, yes, but that endeavor, no. You know, so he's saying, you know, you should use this for something higher. You know what I'm saying? So the endeavor is the same. So to make himself completely embroiled in the mode of ignorance, it takes the same amount of endeavor to get yourself out. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a matter of choice, what you want. You want to get out? Then you try. Take up that association. Can't do it yourself? No one says you will, but that's why association is there. But you have to find association that is association. Right? Yeah? It means real friends. Is that okay?
Is there a point when you look at the mode of ignorance, it seems there's so little free will and ignorance that a person could end up that way? And at one time, they told Prabhupada this devotee can't follow the principles, and Prabhupada said that means he's strongly under the control of ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we deal in a situation where it appears there's very little free will now, or very little choice?
But still, that little bit of choice is enough to... That's what I'm saying is that little bit of choice of Krishna, Krishna's substance, and that ocean of ignorance is still, it's still illusion, but we give the validity to it. Like that. That's the whole thing. We give that validity. You know? So that's all. So it's just a matter of redefining what you say is valid. You know? I mean, it's easy, of course, to sit here and talk about all this stuff, but, you know. But the point is that it's actually that easy. But the problem is convincing the mind that it's that easy. That's the real problem, because the mind is attached to ignorance. But it's actually as easy as that. That's why it's said, all it requires is a moment to be Krishna conscious.
When I think of the verse Nayatovishyam from Summit, it sounds like a cursory look. It's like you slip down the stairs and then that's it.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, the devil made me do it because now that I've meditated on sense gratification, then attachment's coming.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we understand that, which seems to be almost like a law? Okay, you made one bad choice and that's it.
Well, that's how illusion works. It's just one goes into the next. But the point is that it does the same thing in the other way. It means you perform an action, and you'll get a result for that action. But at the same time, it will also create the desire to do that again. So, you know, if you do something wrong, then the desire to do that wrong again will be there. But if you do something right, the desire to do that right will be. So if you do something for Krishna, the desire to do that again will be there. So that's why you keep cultivating that whenever you can. So then, you know, I say the desire to do right, you know, has more points than the desire to do wrong. So it's just, and that's why association is important, because you're inspired by them, because action comes from inspiration. So if you're in a superior association, you're inspired to make that endeavor. You have faith, I can do this. Like that. But that's the chain that it goes. But you contemplate the objects of the senses, then you'll get attached. You contemplate Krishna, you'll get attached. It's the same thing. It's just being used in the negative. You know, so attachment to family, this, that, but it's the same thing, attachment to Krishna. Attachment's attachment. The problem is not attachment. The problem is where the attachment is directed. Identity is not the problem. Desire is not the problem. Activity, results, none of these are the problem. The problem is they're not directed at Krishna. So that's why we analyze it, so you can see the difference. Otherwise, the nature is that, the feminine nature is just take religion. You have good work, good results. Bad work, bad results. But there's no distinction between that actually, one, they're two different things, at the same time they're simultaneously one. Does that make sense? So we have to analyze. Otherwise, the set thing is that good work is good. You know, I serve Krishna and I feed the poor and it's all good. But there's still a distinction between good feeding the poor and good serving Krishna. Like that. So one has to start to make these distinctions. Then it can go. Because the point is, even if it's there, why does that come up? How to put someone in a different situation? Like that. Because the point is, in what position will one be able to engage the body, mind, and words? The problem with this modern thing, why it's so, the deviantness of it is so great, is that one is removed from the position that one can actually make advancement in. Because the truth is considered more important, you know, than actual service to Krishna. let's say someone's a manager. So in management, they're fully absorbed, trying to think how to get everything done. They're physically engaged. They'll do more as a manager. If they do something else, then they'll take a nap. And this, but they'll, you know, they want to take a nap, but they got work to do. You know, they're always talking about it. They're always this and that. They're always absorbed. And so that's where they're going to do. Now, the problem they get off means they're not doing that. So the problem is okay, then the president, he gets involved with some lady, something like this. But that's not managing a temple. Right, so that's his nature, is to manage. This other thing is an effect in his own character, in ashram. Right, so then the thing is, oh, he can't be president. But now, if he's committed to being with okay, then that's a thing. But if he's not, then managing is the only thing that will take him out of that hole. But now, modern thing, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do anything that will actually purify you. You have to sit around and lament, and that will purify you. You know what I'm saying? This is just demoniac. One may say, oh, it's practical, or this or that, or have so many mundane excuses, but they're all, at the end of the day, purely mundane. There may be considerations, yes. Well, what about the example that says, yeah, what about the example that if you ever do anything wrong, you will not be forgiven? Who wants to take up Krishna consciousness? Go ahead. You take up Krishna consciousness, it's great. You can go back to Godhead, solve all the problems. If you make one mistake, man, you're done. You know, that's it. Finish. Something like that. So then who wants to do? Right? Before, people were killing each other to be temple president. Now we have so many empty temples that no one wants to touch. Why? Because if you do anything wrong, hey, you're finished. So this is the example that's being set. Not, oh, what about the common... They don't even know who the common man is. Right? You have to come out of the room where the meeting is to meet the common man. You know what I'm saying? They don't know. They don't know what is common. They don't know what people are. They don't know what relationships are. No idea. And it just sounds great. But nothing's been happening for years. And the only time something happens is if somebody does what it says to do here. And if you use these modern techniques, nothing happens. They think something's happened because they're attached to the modern techniques. So it looks like, well, it will give fruit, but it hasn't. It's been 15 years now. Nothing. It's like going, you know, the story Prabhupada tells, the Himalayas was going to give birth, and so everybody went, you know, and everybody's there, and then a bunch of rats came out. So this is the whole point.
Maharaj, in his question, one thing which I find difficult for a person who is in that deep ignorance or that the other person who is giving association must give room for his fault.
Yeah, but that's the point of forgiving. Is you know it is there, and you know emotionally they're going to go through this. Mm-hmm. So we're not saying that. Means it's like this. This is the thing. You give yourself, but you may have difficulty, but the other person is giving you that space. If he gives you the space, then you feel there's space to move into. Right? You can only, unless there's, means these, Adhara Shakti is the all accommodating potency. If there's no accommodation, like, you know, if there's not a room, you won't think about going into it. If it's packed, you're not going to even, you know, you're not going to try. So you can't accommodate, but others can. So then you'll try to come out. You know, but now if you can't accommodate and everybody else is saying, yeah, you know, then, you know, it's just like, it means you had, the Muslims came and they sprinkled water on some Hindus and said, now you're all Muslims, right? And then the people, you know, because they're simple, they don't know. They went to the Brahmins and said, hey, they sprinkled this water and say they're Muslims. Is that true? And so instead of saying, no, go take a bath. You know, like, don't worry about it. They said, oh, yeah, no, now you know, so what do we do? Oh, you got to drink boiling ghee, and then next life you'll be born Hindu again. And so who's going to be Hindu? They're all Muslims. There's 200 million because of that. That only, Prabhupada says. All they had to do is, you know, who cares? You know, Does that make sense? You know, I come and take some water, sprinkle it on you. Now, you know, you're a goth.
Oh,
you know, like that, you know, huh? What? What are you talking about? You know, like that. Okay. Well, you're an emo. You know, what is he? You know, it's like that, you know. You know, does it work? It does it. It's like, you know, who cares?
Can you imagine hillbilly?
Hillbilly. Let's go get some water. Now you're a hillbilly. You know, so it doesn't matter. But the thing is they took it seriously, therefore, then the thing. So that's the thing. So it doesn't run. Everybody, oh, yeah, that's so bad. Because what they want to talk about something. They want something to gossip about. This is the meaning. Bhaktivinoda, of course, says, a devotee has a fault, and you sit around talking about it. That's gossip. You're going to say, oh, no, but we're discussing. No, you're not. If you're discussing in a way that they'll be benefited, the person you're talking to will be benefited, then that's something to do. But if you're just talking, that's just gossip. So, you know, that's fault finding. That's kukinati. You know, so that's the difficulty. Yes.
So how to tell a devotee about another devotee's fault in such a way that he will not.
What's the purpose of telling?
So that they can avoid.
But that means then they're in a position to perform the same mistake.
Yeah, exactly.
If they're in the mistake, then you say, well, if you do like this, this will happen. And if they understand it, great. And if you say, but it happened to him. He did that. It happened to him. So you want to make the same mistake? But it has to be relevant. Otherwise, if it's not relevant, then it's just, you know, something to talk about. You know, it's like Ibori. You know, hey, you know, this one did that. Oh, wow. So then, you know, the Guyaha Makiti Preacher Tea is happening, right? Now you need some Bunkte Bojayate, and it's all happening. It's all going on. You understand? Like that. Okay. Okay. Is that okay? Huh? Okay. Means, you know,
so the independence, it just means if you allow yourself to fall into ignorance, you're going to have to struggle a little harder.
Yeah, you're just going to have to struggle. But if you understand it's not, then you can. Because Krishna's there to help. The point is, if you take one step, Krishna will take 10. But you still have to take one. Because he's already said, as you surrender, he reciprocates. So that's the way he works. The devotee can come in, you know, crash into your life and, you know, do something else, but then you have to have a relationship. So that means you have to have actual relationships, not this modern concept of relationship. Because there is no relationship. Because you're great friends, but if something goes wrong, hey, nobody knows. I don't know. Like that. No, but you live with them and say, oh, live with them. Strange. The strangest things happen. You know, so that's the problem. Is that it's not, there's no, so then how one will have that surrender? You know? How can I surrender? Yes.
If, as Prabhu was saying, someone keeps making the same mistake again, or even if it's not something external, it's something internal,
mm-hmm.
Could there be some doubt that processes are working?
You have to see what it is. It can be a doubt, it can be a misgiving. Generally, anything that is long-lasting is a misgiving. Right? Or, you know, or an attachment, you know, but there's some way. Is that a doubt? Is just it's not logically makes sense. You explain it logically, then it's gone. Misgiving is it's gone into the mind. So you explain it logically, but that doesn't deal with the emotions that are felt about it, because emotions don't really care about intelligence, right? So that's why you have to have this mix between the two. So in other words, you analyze the field, right? Then you're going to be inspired. So all this is intelligence. But to actually act means the intelligence has to cross over to attachment. And when attachment's there, then you're going to act. So while you're acting, the intelligence isn't working. But you still have to use the intelligence to perform the activity. Right? So there's a difference there. So attachment means you're attached. It's not an intellectual consideration anymore. It's simply an emotional consideration. Right? So Does that make sense? That's why when the men analyze so much the problem that the wife is having in the emotions, to the wife, it's like, does this guy care for me or not? Because he's using intelligence instead of me. So there's no attachment because you're using intelligence. Right? The point is you deal with the emotion, then when that balances, then the intelligence will come back up, then you discuss. Does that make sense? So it's just how the system works. Just that what I've explained there is Sankarshan Prajumnadi Udran Vasudev. It's our philosophy. Right? So the point is that's why when you analyze the field should be according to what's favorable to Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, if we give some modern definitions, then that means when you get the desire, you're inspired in that and develop the attachment won't be to Krishna. Because the field's not Krishna. Does that make sense? So that's why means being acutely aware of one's shortcomings is all right, but that doesn't mean that it should get in the way of acting. Yes.
So if a devotee, say, for 30 years has been practicing Krishna consciousness, and the anattas and the shortcomings are still very strong, they feel that has more strength than the devotional process?
It means if someone's judging and then saying that, you know, they've fallen and so they're fallen. Oh, within themselves, then it's just a matter of, yeah, because the point is devotional service is the natural condition of the soul. These other things, that's not natural. But we have the habit of, we're so practiced at it. You know what I'm saying? Because Prabhupada mentions that those who take up Krishna consciousness means they've already been in every species of life. So they've tried everything, and now after trying everything, then it's kind of like, now what are you going to do? You know? So then in that state, one is open for the option of devotional service. So one is thinking that the material has some substance and all that. No, it's because of our illusion and bad practice, we still have, you know, some attachment in some area. But the point is, devotional service is more powerful. Therefore, it can be overcome. Why do you think there's such extreme stories given in the Shastras? And our situation is never more than what's in the Shastras. You know what I'm saying? What is it? Ninth canto, you have this king. You know, he keeps going back and forth, one month a man, one man a month a woman, and this and that. And so, I mean, you don't get more than that. You know, as I say, you know. So it's that, you know, here we're not talking cross-dressing. We're talking he's actually a woman. And then the next month he's actually a man. You know, so you know, these things are very extreme. You know, Ajamil is very extreme. He's 88 years old when his son is born. So that means this happened after he's 88? Because Narayan's big enough to, you know, I kind of call and recognize the voice, so, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, so he must be some interaction, so he must be able to come. So he must be at least able to move around, so he must be at least two. So he's 90 years old. Like that. And his position, let's say, okay, this and that. He was a Pukka Brahmin. You know, he had, you know, properly following everything. He had a young wife who was properly doing everything. He had his dependent mother and father. He left all that for a prostitute. Right? So is that bad? Or is that bad? Right? So you can't say, you know, how many devotees can say they're in that position? Right? Go ahead, you know, knock me out, you know. If they weren't born in the Gaur-Saraswat Brahmin family or practicing in that, then forget it. You know, if they were Mlechas and Yamanas, then they're not even close to the degree, you know, of distance between the two situations. And what happens immediately after this? immediately when he's rabbi, he moves into the temple and gets serious, and you see him. You can see through the verses where it just mentioned that he went through this and he moved up to Nishta, then Ruchi, then Asakti. Then you can see it in the verses. They're describing how he developed. As long as you have faith in Jesus. If you don't, then forget it. It comes from that, because culture, the modern culture is a Protestant culture. Protestant culture is based on there is no authority, and whatever you feel, that is right. Because that was one of the main things, is that the authority of the church had become so ritualistic and so institutionalized that the reformers that was what they were saying. So before it was, unless you went into a church with a priest, you couldn't pray. So they're saying, no, we can pray anywhere. So they're correct. But then the point is you remove the religious aspect. That boils down to, the point is I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, and I define it. I define right and wrong. You know, there is no authority. In the Protestant, there are no saints. Right? In all other religions, there are saints. There are no saints in the Protestant. They don't accept authority or saints. Sound familiar? Like that? So, what culture is that? It's not Vedic, it's not Vaishnav. Right? It's not Christian, it's not Judaic, it's not Buddhist, it's this modern Protestant. So this modern economics, the bourgeois, is based on that. That's what allows it to come up. Otherwise, everybody had a position and that's the way it was. As soon as you get rid of that, the Protestant comes in, anybody can come up, so the bourgeois comes up. You got money, it works. You know? I mean, we don't learn history like this because they're not allowed to teach it. You know, like that. It has to be purely secular. But nobody does anything unless there's some philosophy or religion behind it. Does that make sense? So the difficulty comes is we'll be Vaishnava by philosophy, but we're Protestant by culture. The Prabhupada said that, you know, we're Vedic by culture. Right? We're Vaishnava by philosophy. You know, our culture is Varnashram. But it's authority. You know, and so that doesn't jive with the modern culture. Does that make sense? So we have to understand is the soul's beyond this. So the soul can do this. You can do it. You're Brahman, you can do this. You know, so like that. You know.
Maharaj, in the result that you've been gifted in the Protestant religion, that you got some money, some benefit by God.
Yeah, well, you've done good work, you get good results. You know? And then there's the guys that are successful. Right, you know. But it's a delicate balance, because, you know, karma is the basis. You know, you're talking about, you know, ultimately a Zoroastrianism based religions. And so they've already got everything backwards. You know, they say there's only one God, but then, you know, who runs the material world? Can't be God. He's good. This place is bad. So that means there's another controller. So it's just philosophically very, very weak. You know, who decides? You know, I say, you know, why is that bad? You know, like she's saying, okay, this devotee, he did something bad. Why is it bad? You go around, you ask the devotees, well, why do you think it's bad? Oh, it's wrong, you know, or why, you know, it's not good, you know, why is it not good? Well, everybody knows, you know, where's the basis? It's simply feeling. And you're not going to get any more than that. Like that. They can't even relate it, no, but at least in the, you know, modern world, which is based on these world religions, at least those religions say you shouldn't do this. And that's how it's come down, filtered down into the culture that's practiced today. It's based on those previous religious cultures. But they can't even say that. It's just the modern thing, because you want to separate yourself from authority and religion. Because if you separate, religion defines, this is the way it is. If I separate from this, it's whatever I feel is the way it is. So I decide what's right and what's wrong. And that's what's going on. When someone does something wrong and others judge, what are they judging on? Shastra? Right? No. They'll pull some extreme from the Shastra. Oh, if he did this, then he should be killed. Yeah, but what about the other 10 shlokas that deal with other aspects? You know, what about his varna? What about his ashram? What about the situation? That's what Manu describes. Because the king has to make all decisions, so he has to know everything about it. No, they'll only pull which one works for them. Like that. You know, so like this, it's not actually understanding. But it's not based on that. It's that it's wrong, and the Shastra also says. But that's the bourgeois culture. I'm going to do whatever I want, but if the Shastra says that's good, then hey, that's double profit. But even the Shastra doesn't say, I'm still going to do it. Right? But you go back where it wasn't the bourgeois, it was the Kshatriyas or the Brahmins, then if the scriptures don't say it, they don't do it. Nobody does it. You know? So it's a matter of, it's not authorized, it's not done. You know what I'm saying? That's what he said, let it be written, let it be done, right? You know, so it's what's authority, that's what's done. Right? But then, you know, that's the blessings of the Ionians. They broke down this authority structure in the Western environment. Ionians and Greeks. They had a philosophy of this relativeness and all this, and how do you say this is absolute and all this, and you can't say... That was the whole fight. That's why Socrates died. He was an absolutist, while everybody else was a relativist.
Aristotle was based on modern science.
Yeah, because they saw, well, hey, if you talk his philosophy, you're dead. You adjust it, you know, and like that, you're a scholar, you know, so like that.
Maharaj, also we find that when Parampara breaks, there's a great oppression, because then if the Brahman, like this Hindu Brahman, just said, you drink ghee.
Yeah. I mean, it's just mentioned in the Shastra, but not for that. Mm-hmm. You know? You know, it's like, you know, how does water change your religion? You're purified by it, but, you know, so if it's sanctified water, you're purified. You know, why does that make you change your religion? You know what I'm saying? So the point is it's the soul that's becoming purified. Like that, religion is a specific way of practice, you know, a particular manifestation. So that's why we're interested in Sanatana Dharma, because that's an eternal activities. These others are temporary applications of the religious process. Is that? Yeah. Yes.
Just on the thing with Socrates and Plato, so the story of the cave was originally from Socrates.
Yes.
Written by Plato.
He may have documented, but it's Socrates' thing. Because his point is it's what you see here is an illusion.
Yeah.
But there is a reality.
Yeah.
He's not saying, he's saying you're in the cave and you see shadows and you see all these things and you think that's real. But then somebody who actually knows comes and takes you outside the cave and you see the real things. He doesn't say that, you know, and then it's all Brahman, you know, like that. No, you know, that's what these others will say. Socrates was, but it was too far out for...
So that actually defines fundamental breaking point in Western philosophy.
Yeah, basically. Because then it was the sophists, you know, and that means the vox populi, that's one. If the people are into it, then that's truth.
Yeah.
That's the point, is that if you say, because that would be the final thing that we were saying before, is that, well, you know, well, why are you doing it? Well, everybody knows. Because it's vox populi, it means this, of course, you know, the people are doing it, so therefore it's popular.
And that's right.
But it has nothing to do with reality. You know, Prabhupada said it. 1,000 fools say that a wrong is a right doesn't make it right. Yes.
If you apply this to Vaishnavism, sometimes I think when I see devotees like certain things, and we say, if I please the devotees, I make advancement, then I question that their taste may be influenced by past, by the laws of passion and ignorance. So I'm doing something, and everybody says, oh, this is very good, and we're very happy. Does that automatically mean that what I did was proper, I'm making advancement, or is there that possibility?
Is it connected to Krishna? See, the bottom line in all this, you know, because we're getting into all varieties of detail, if something's connected to Krishna, it's perfect. If it's not connected to Krishna, it's not. It's illusion. So the point is if they appreciate a particular way of doing something and it's actually connected to Krishna, so therefore they will make advancement, you make advancement. You know, let's say instead of rice and dal, they'd rather eat pasta. But the point is you're offering to Krishna, you're trying to cook it to please Krishna and everything like that, and it'll please the Vaishnavas, so they advance. But if something's actually opposed to the scriptures, you can't give away that you're connecting it to Krishna. They're not going to connect it to Krishna, then that's basically useless. Right? Does that make sense? But if the connection's actually there, means mechanically there, not just spoken. Oh, it's all for Krishna. Well, how? Oh, it just is. You know, okay, great. Nice. But, you know, if you say it's for Krishna, you should be able to explain it. Otherwise, how do you know it's for Krishna? How do you know Beelzebub didn't get in there? Is that okay? Something is left. What is it? See, because you have a specific example, but you're asking a general question.
It's kind of like you have two people in Maya that are somehow connecting their sense gratification to Krishna.
But the thing is their sense gratification actually connected or not? That's the point. Do they see Krishna in it? Do they see how it's working because of Krishna?
Well, they're using Krishna.
But that's a rationale. That's not connected to Krishna. So then doing something in that environment, then that's useless. Because it's not connected to Krishna. But if it is connected to Krishna, then, you know what I'm saying? The guy's got a Ferrari, you know, so he drives to the temple. Okay, so that's connected on that part. But it's, you know, there's a large element of sakam karma in this. But the thing is, it is connected to Krishna. You know, and so that aspect of cultivating Krishna, so then you get him a little something, you know, about Krishna and put it on his dashboard. You know, so then, you know, he likes it because it makes his car nice and everything, but it is connected and he's using it to go to Krishna, you know, so whenever
it must be stylish, right?
Yeah, it must be stylish also. It's Ferrari, come on. You know, so like, make sure it's red, right?
You have a little plaque that said, you could have distributed 150,000 Bhagavad Gitas if you didn't buy this car.
Could have. Or you could tell them, you know, drive this down, you know, down the, you know, the, how you say, find the right place in you know, L.A. to drive it to, and, you know, open the rack and pull out the books, you know, people might buy it, you know. It says, wow, this guy's got this. He must, you know, must know what he's talking about. You know, so, you know, and that way it's engaged. You know what I'm saying? So the point is it's not ideal, but it is engaged. That's the point. So then you say, oh, this, oh, but it's a waste of money, this and that. Point is its connection is more important than what's wrong. And if they continue that, then with time, then he'll come to the point of being the monk that sold his Ferrari. Right? You know what I'm saying? But the point is, the thing is you first connect it, because otherwise you have to renounce. But what's the connection? What will be actually connected by doing it? I give it up, but how is that connected to Krishna? So unless that renunciation is connected, it has no meaning. You know, and then we're putting on to, oh, it's a waste of money. Maybe for us, from our background, but for some other people, that's nothing. You know, buying your own Learjet, maybe that's a waste of money. You know, or your own, you know, shipping company just because you want free rides to the Bahamas. So that may be a waste because it's cheaper to buy a ticket. You know, so you have to see, you know, the context of it. You know, so that's where I'm saying is that we'll bring in our own, you know, ethics on it, but, you know, which is all right to start from, because, like you're saying, anything has a value, that something's valued to people in whatever way it is, the value itself is actually real, but the medium through which they express it may be more close to actual truth or not, like that. You know, so one has to be able to analyze what's there and then take from that. So that's what I'm saying. He's got that. Then how can that be engaged? You know? Like that. And so then, Does that make some sense? So that's the subtlety that's being given, is that wherever they are, start there. They don't have to change anything. They simply have to change the consciousness on everything they're dealing with. Because what makes it, you know, is you know, why does the guy have the fancy car? What's the reason? You know, it's like, you know, different people may have different reasons, but whatever, it's the social status. But that point of that element of status, that's Krishna. Krishna's the ultimate status. He's the cause of status. You know, what's right, what's wrong, what's higher, what's lower. He creates the 14 planetary systems. You know, he does all that. You know, if it's, you know, if it's performance, but then that means it's efficiency. But Krishna's the most efficient. He is efficiency. You know, and so this does it, you know. So all these different things, you have to see what it is. You start at the Brahman level. And then that you can connect it. And then from that, then there's the matter of seeing that. Then it's a matter of, then you go to the next, the Paramatma level. It's engagement. But it's still because of him. Then you ultimately get it to Bhagavan, where it's about Krishna. So how is this pleasing to Krishna? If it is, then he has it. If it's not, he gets rid of it. Does that make sense? Is that okay?
Yeah.
So the mistake we can make in this stage, Maharaj, is that we can be attached to the final form rather than the principal work.
Yeah, because the final form we're attached to is still in matter. It's still Adibhuta. But the point is Adibhuta only moves because of Adidaiva. Right? And Adidaiva is creating all the situations so that you'll actually come to the point of appreciating Adiyagya. You know, the Supreme Lord. You know, so that's the point, is that first you see what's the quality in it, because it's dead matter. It's a tin can. Right? But we say it's so valuable. Right? But the point is that what it is in that, what we're paying for is that element of Krishna that it comes closer to obtaining. But we're still only seeing the Adibhuta. We're seeing the material manifestation. Right, so the material cause. You know, they've taken some materials and through transformation, then it's come to what it is. Right, so somebody's worked, somebody's got it. Right, you make the endeavor, you pay the money, you get. But the point is those are still based on the principles of the original cause and the formal cause that we're not seeing. Therefore, it's illusion. If you see it's the real God, then it's there. Then it's okay. Then it's nice. But it's still nothing special. You know, Prabhupada, you bring him a Rolls Royce, it's the best and all that, what you have to offer, but the Prabhupada is still a tin can. You know, it's still nothing. He said, you know, if it was made out of solid gold, it still wouldn't be good enough. But, you know, it's still whatever, it's a start. You know? Like that. But the point is we put the value on it. So that's the Sakam element. Then Krishna puts, but there's an original value on it. So if it doesn't enhance a relationship with Krishna, for Krishna there's no value. But if it enhances the relationship, then it's valuable. Right? So does that make sense?
Yeah. And also devotees, I mean, we see the ideal situation for a devotee to be in that simple life, and we see the form of that life. And we don't see the principle who's bringing in this monk who renounces his family to become a monk. We don't see that's something which I've seen a lot. In your lecture, I can see the principles working. So a monk, Harry on it can sell and become a monk who sold his family. Because you see the principle. If I just saw that the simple element of the devotee is in the wear and everything.
Just as a side element, just as if we're talking economics, just to really mess with people's heads on the mundane platform, is raising a child costs more than a Ferrari. So actually a Ferrari would be a lesser investment to engage one's material desires. Like that, you know, lesser than that a Ducati motorcycle. You know, like this, you can bring it down. But so the point is that if there's an attachment, one doesn't mind spending any amount of money or any. So the point is in Krishna, it doesn't matter what it is. If it's connected to him, it's a value. So it can be of any, you know, monetary value. But its use is its connection. You know, so Prabhupada says you have a finger. You'll spend millions of dollars to keep the finger on your hand. But once it's lost, you won't spend anything on it. It's useless. So if it's connected to Krishna, it's of value. And if it's not connected to Krishna, it's useless. But that connection is actual, has to be real. That's what the Gita is defining. What actually is connected and what is not. Because you can't fool Krishna. That's the thing. We can't fool him. You know, so we analyze and see what is connected, what's not. You know, so like we were saying before, even we were talking about the political correctness, that they want to do something in a way that will be accepted by people, so they'll be favorable towards, you know, Krishna consciousness. That's good. So their actual foundation of accepting what their value in political correctness is correct. Like that. But the actual form of it and the application of it, it's so far off track, it has nothing to do with anything. You know what I'm saying? So they're not actually able to correct. Prabhupada was politically correct. And his preaching, that's why his preaching was so good. He knew exactly what to say to who. But he would never not say our philosophy. Right? He would not say, he's in that Mr. Mistress ashram. He taught Krishna consciousness. But he would do it in such a way that, you know, even Mistra, you know, he didn't really like it. He's a Mayavadi, but, you know, he would, you know, deal nicely. You know, as soon as Prabhupada started talking philosophy, let's have a kirtan, you know, so, like that. So, but in any case, Prabhupada would find what would work in the situation. So he talked to everyone exactly. You know. You know, even that, what was that kid, Shivananda or something? You know, he wanted a dollar or wanted $5 to buy some gasoline to light himself on fire. Right? And Prabhupada said he was crazy. You know, so we'll think, yeah, he's crazy. He wanted to light himself on fire, this, that. No, Prabhupada said he's crazy. He says, you know, it was 25 cents a gallon. Why does he need $5? That means he's nuts, you know, because if he was intelligent, he would know, I need 25 cents. You know? So even the action of doing that, okay, he's had something wrong. He feels like killing himself and this and that, but he's nuts. So how are you going to deal with this? So you have to deal with it as he's nuts. You know, if he says, you know, I want 25 cents, why? I want to buy a gallon of gasoline. Why? Because I want to kill myself. You know, so then it's like, okay, well, what's wrong? You know, then you get into it. Then you can use your intelligence. But in this case, you couldn't. So therefore, Prabhupada called his mommy and sent him home. You know, because, you know, he needs a little bit of emotional support here. So it wasn't a matter of logic. You know what I'm saying? So... Like that, it's a matter of seeing what actually is working. You know, because otherwise, oh, you can't do that, this and that. It's like that, you know, it's just a matter. It's not that. It's a matter of, you know, something happens, you feel bad, and then, okay, you feel like killing yourself. Not ideal, but, you know, it happens. So what actually made you feel like that? But people start dealing with, oh, he wants to kill himself, or he's unstable, we got to do this, we got to get the support. What happened to the part about, you know, what was the cause of it? And then take that original thing and connect that to Krishna. You don't connect a petrol thing to Krishna. You connect why it is he wants to kill himself to Krishna. Because that's the root. But we'll get into all these side things. Does that make sense?
Maharaj, you mentioned how Prabhupada was politically correct. And by your lectures we can notice that you're also correct, right, in the sense of saying what we need to do. What we are going to the Gita, what advice would you give us to, well,
yeah, that's better, otherwise we should have. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Janyatai Gaura Premanandi.